So have you had any encounters with artificial intelligence? Or at least encounters that you know of?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I'm going to tell you right now, I do not feel that great today. My voice is worn out. I've not been sleeping. This walking pneumonia is really taking its toll. And it makes it very hard for me to even sleep at night. In fact, the night before last, I did not sleep at all. I could not. I keep waking up breathless, yet the oxygen level is good. There's just a lot going on. And yes, we are seeing doctors, so we have that under control. It's just trying to get them to get this under control has not been easy. This has been quite a health challenge. And I'm thankful for people like Jim Calhoun, who'll be coming by in just a few minutes to share with you his thoughts on artificial intelligence. But I want to share one story with you. And it's kind of a vindication of what we've been trying to do here since this program was launched in the summer of 2020. Remember 2020? Remember the pandemic? Remember the election? Remember all of the nonsense that was going on? Remember the fear? Remember... Do you remember the nurses that were dancing? The dancing nurses. All of it. And then we had all of these strange things that we had never done before. Wearing face diapers. Stay at home. Stay safe. Quarantine. I remember all of it. And working in emergency management as I did, so much of it was ringing not true. From firsthand observation. Things we were told to tell you, I realized they weren't true. And that's what launched this radio program. It seemed that everybody was dying of COVID. Nobody died of the flu or even gunshots anymore. It was all COVID all the time. And we were told that we needed hospitals were going to be overwhelmed and they were empty. I saw that where I worked at. We were told the hospital would be overwhelmed. We set up alternate sites for overflow for the hospital. None of it ever used because the hospital was mostly shut down. All elective surgeries were stopped. Now this story comes out from the U.S. House of Representatives talking about the COVID-19 health campaign. We spent $900 million to promote the vaccine, to get people to, as they said in the campaign, we can do this, and to get everybody to line up, roll up their sleeve. For a vaccine, they knew at the time they put it out. They knew when they were in telling you to roll up your sleeve, did not stop you from getting or spreading COVID-19. And we're the ones that were being accused of spreading fake and phony information. Your government spread fake and phony information and paid public relations firms millions upon millions of dollars. Oh, the mask mandates too. 50 years of studies were tossed aside for junk science, for you to be obedient little plebes, to do as your masters told you when it came to the dangers of COVID-19. Mask for everybody. And when you finally got vaccinated, then you didn't need a mask. Remember walking one way in a grocery store? Remember those dots on the floor? Keep 6 feet apart. All of it was one big fat lie. All of it. And the worst part is they knew it. They knew it when they did it, and they did it for a political purpose. Remember the war against hydroxychloroquine? One of the greatest eye-openers I had in 2020, probably around April of that year, was doing my research in my emergency management job and finding a website, the CDC's website, and finding documents going back to 2003, 2004, and 2005, the first time there was a coronavirus, and all the great research that had been done, and praising the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine and recommending the government stockpile it just for such an occasion. But no, we couldn't have a cure. Something else that came out. We never did have all these excessive deaths. We keep hearing about the millions that died, but where are the other deaths? They don't exist. It was a major psyop. And I begin to wonder if some of those nurses that were dancing were even real nurses. I mean, if this is the most deadly virus in the world, and people are dying left and right, falling on the floor, dying in the streets of China, being hauled off by the hazmat team, if this was the world's worst virus, how did they have all this time on their hands to rehearse and video and upload the dance routines? I hope and pray that if we make it to January, and with this brain-dead administration in Washington, I worry that we'll have a world war to cover all this up. I truly do. But I pray that if we make it through the month of January, that the truth comes out and people are held accountable. Now, so I can rest my voice, Jim Calhoun has agreed to help out today. Jim, the microphone is yours.
Thanks, Bob. And once again, it's truly great to be back on Truth to Ponder. Well, before I get this episode started, you probably have already noticed my voice is, shall we say, less than stellar. I've been fighting first a head cold, then it turned into bronchitis. And I've been fighting that for about 4 days. And so I'm a little bit weak with my voice today, but hopefully I can make up for that by having a good program. But before I get started on today's topic, I do want to thank everyone for keeping Bob Bierman in your prayers. And I would like to thank you for your continued support of Bob Bierman. He's a good man. He's doing great things. And he really does need our support. Well, today I'm going to be talking about a topic that I think it's long overdue for a very serious heart-to-heart talk about. And that's artificial intelligence. Now, I know people have been talking about it for a long time, and you have the people that think it's the salvation of business and salvation of their careers and possibly saving the world's economy. And you have other people that are sounding the alarm saying that it's going to ruin everything. And there is a middle ground here that we need to at least aim at. But I want everyone to get their head around the fact that the world is changing. And with AI, it's going to change so fast that we're not going to recognize our world. Now, I like to use analogies, and I'm going to go back to, let's say, the graduating class of 1900. Graduating out of high school in 1900. You're facing the world. You know that there are things being worked on, things being talked about as far as inventions and technology, but you have both feet firmly planted in the 19th century, even though the 20th century had just begun. Depending on what kind of occupation you wanted to pursue, you had definite plans and definite ideas that would work if the world didn't change from out from under you. But as we know, between 1900 and 1910, the world just absolutely was turned on its head. The internal combustion engine became popular, automobiles, airplanes, and everyone's mindset changed. And by 1920, if you had any 19th century roots, as far as if you were trying to hold on to that, well, you were just left in the dust. And World War I helped to really push the inventions as far as their development, especially the airplane. And we're living at a time like that right now, where artificial intelligence is going to just take everything to levels that we can't even comprehend right now. And in some ways, that's good. Artificial intelligence used wisely and used correctly could be a great thing. And so I'm not coming on this program saying that I hate artificial intelligence. It's something that's been worked on for years. It's something that is just an extension of the computer. And so you know that things are going to change and evolve and get better in some ways. And I'm going to be talking about some of the good that can happen because of artificial intelligence in the show. But I'm going to be talking about the pitfalls and the bad and just your mindset where I think that we all need to pay attention and not just say, okay, we have artificial intelligence now and just forget about it. We have to really think about this. And the reason that I'm telling you that we have to really think about this is that I live in a world of reality. I like things that are earthy, real. And a perfect example is that I would never buy a Bitcoin or a digital coin because I'd rather have the real thing in my hand. Now, does that make me old-fashioned? Well, yes, it does. Will it someday force me out of business? Possibly. I don't know. Time will tell on that. But as things change, we have to have a handle on it. We at least have to recognize what we are getting. Now, here's a perfect introduction to how artificial intelligence can be used. You might say somewhat in a good way, but ultimately, I don't think this is helpful. Now, my voice today is a little rough, but if I would sample my voice with artificial intelligence on a good day, when my voice is good and strong, then in the future, if I have a day where I don't feel up to making, I can't sit down at the microphone, maybe I'm traveling, maybe I'm sick, that all I have to do is ask the artificial intelligence by simply typing in what I want and tell artificial intelligence to make a program. And I can pick the topic, let's say, let's make the program about society. And then the artificial intelligence would take it less than a couple of seconds to have a fully produced show that's going to sound exactly like me, that's going to be talking about the topic I told it to, but whose actually ideas are you going to be hearing? Well, of course, not mine. Because it's who programs the artificial intelligence, and that's really the main Achilles heel to this. If you have somebody that's benevolent and good-hearted and has mankind's best interest at heart, then you're going to have a pretty good artificial intelligence that's not going to be harmful. But if you have somebody that has ulterior motives, that's pushing an agenda that people really don't want to have pushed, well, then you're going to have propaganda come out of this artificial intelligence. And that really is a bad thing on so many fronts. First of all, if all I have to do is ask artificial intelligence to make a program for me, well, then that could get real commonplace. And I'm telling you right now that it will become commonplace across the entire spectrum of media. You're going to have newspapers where their stories are going to be written by artificial intelligence. You're going to have music that the song's going to be written and produced as a final radio-ready song. in just a matter of seconds. And so nothing will be real anymore. As a matter of fact, I would say that a good 50% right now of the videos that you watch on the different video platforms on the internet are narrated by artificial intelligence. And they're coming up with artificial intelligence that mimics people so close that you can't tell the difference. Now, about 20 years ago, I can't remember who I was talking to, but this person told me that I would live to see new John Wayne movies being made and new songs by Elvis and the Beatles. Just anybody that's either retired or not with us anymore, that they're going to be making movies. And these actors or actresses will be in their prime. They'll never grow old. And I never forgot that person telling me that because I actually believed the person. I thought, you know, that's probably where it's heading. And so I think within the next few years, you're going to see just countless different things produced. And they can produce these, artificial intelligence can produce an entire movie in probably a minute or two. And that's going to be real attractive to the movie industry because actually it's going to break the movie industry. It's no longer going to be centered in a location because anybody that is proficient with artificial intelligence, as long as they have the higher grade software and they have the technical ability to do what they need to do, we'll have a whole bunch of people that are creating all sorts of content that's not real. But no longer will you need actors or actresses. You won't need playwrights. You won't need casting. You won't need crew. You won't need a studio. You won't need stunt people. You won't need anything. And when that happens, it's going to be devastating to an entire industry. And it's also going to do that to the music industry. And I'm not calling people lazy here, but people would rather take the easy route. And there will come a day where every bit of news that you read or hear or watch will be presented to you by artificial intelligence, that the so-called person you're watching on the video is not even real. And the information that's given to you is information that whoever programs artificial intelligence will want you to have. You see the slippery slope we're on with this? And what's sad about all of this is that I don't know who's controlling it, but it's too late. We're not going to stop it. It's like the people back in 1915 telling all the people that had cars they needed to get rid of their cars and get a horse. Fat chance that was going to happen. And so we can't sit here and say, well, we're just not going to support artificial intelligence. Well, you already are. And as companies need to cut costs, and as the price of artificial intelligence software comes down, you're going to see so many jobs lost. Even working at a fast food place, they're going to have kiosks that are going to be totally run robotically in artificial intelligence. They're working on all sorts of ways to get drones and robots to deliver your food or your items. I know there's a restaurant in a town near where I live that's one of their big draws, is that the food is brought out to you by robots. Yes, we do live in that kind of a world. And we bemoan the fact that traditional families are basically in tatters. Traditions within families are totally gone, for the most part. And people old enough to have grandparents that were born in the 1800s, such as I am, we remember a whole different mindset that the whole society had. And that mindset is now as dead and gone as our grandparents. And the children being born now, and the very young children that are under the age of 5, they're going to find the artificial intelligence and the phoniness and everything, that's going to be their normal. And they're going to look back at the 20th century and think, wow, they didn't know anything. And there's a lot of reaction videos up on the internet of people reacting to music that was recorded in the 1950s or 40s or 70s, 60s, what have you. And they're all younger people that just can't believe that they're hearing music that's done without computers and pitch correctors. They're just, they can't figure it out. Well, the word you're looking for is talent. And people used to have to dig down and find the talent that they had, and they needed to, and they honed it, and they practiced, and they put their heart and soul into it to give you the best they could do. And now, all you have to do is just tell artificial intelligence that you want to have a song about a certain topic, and you want it sung by this type of a voice, and it's done. And it's perfect. There will be no heart and no soul in anything. And you can tell that the modern music right now is homogenized to the point where it's kind of pointless as art. It's still music. But there's a line that's been crossed that takes it away from art. Now, I know some people like to use the paint by numbers. You don't see it so often anymore, but there was a time when a lot of people would buy a piece of paper that had the outline of what they were going to paint, and then they had the number of what paint they should use. And there were people that would sit down and they would do a paint by numbers, and they would be so proud of it. And it might look good, and they might have done a good job, but the idea didn't come from them. The color schemes didn't come from them. The idea didn't come from them. And so a paint by numbers piece of art, if you wanted to call it art, was compromised. Compromised to the point where anyone that would look at a painting and comment on it and find out that it was a paint by numbers, they would automatically kind of dismiss it. And maybe all of that wasn't quite warranted, the total dismissal, because it does take talent to pull it off. But there's something disingenuous about it. But we've entered an age of fast and easy and cheap, more so than ever. And so if someone needs to write a speech and they want to really pour their heart in it, well, instead they can ask artificial intelligence to write them a 15-minute speech and tell them the topic. Now, I know that most of the websites that you visit are generated in all of the text and everything is put there by artificial intelligence. I put up a website recently for my music, and I had to use artificial intelligence because it came with the package. And so what I did was I used the artificial intelligence that I told them what type of music and what instruments I played, and instantly it came up with this real flowery, flattering, best in the world, gotta hear this music type of a thing that I thought was real phony and disingenuous. There were some good points that the artificial intelligence did have. Had some catchy phrases, and I could tell that it was a good effort. I'm not going to cut the effort down. It was just over the top. So what I did was I edited it. I took everything out that was over the top, and I smoothed everything out, made it sound like it was me. And when I got done with that, I was happy with it because artificial intelligence did point out some things that I would never have written that were actually quite good, but it didn't have any of me in it. I was just reading about someone that was foreign, and it was on my website. I didn't like it, and so I customized it. So I have used artificial intelligence in media. I have done that. But what happens when that becomes commonplace, when everybody does it? So what do we do about it? Well, I'll be talking about that on the second half of the program today, of some ideas of how we can live with artificial intelligence and use it in constructive ways, but also not relying on it to the point where it takes over our lives. And I'm not trying to disparage any industries here, but you have DoorDash and you have all these different places where you can have your food delivered and have tickets delivered and have anything delivered. And there's companies that are making a lot of money on these delivery service companies. And of course, that is expensive to do. There's expense in everything. There's expense of getting in your car and driving and getting it yourself. And there are times when a delivery service is an absolute must. You might be on a very important project and way too busy to go get this item that you need. And so I understand that it's a very good service. And it's something that comes in very handy. But there are people that abuse that handiness. They just sit there on their couch or watching TV or doing nothing. And they have things delivered to them. Now, if that's the way they want to live, that's, you know, I have no issue with it. But when do you start living again? That's my question. Sitting there watching other people's work while you're not getting anything done doesn't sit real well with me personally, because I know that while I'm watching things that other people have produced, well, then I'm not producing. But I also know that I can't live in a vacuum. I can't live sealed away from everything to where I don't know what's going on. So I do have to watch things that other people produced. And since I've had this bronchitis, I've done way too much of that. I stayed in bed trying to recover. I've been watching an awful lot of content from an awful lot of people. But I'm wondering now how much I'm watching is artificial intelligence as far as the words that are coming out. I do know that a lot of videos that are entirely artificial intelligence. And fortunately, more often than not, I can see telltale signs of it being generated, and so I click off of those. I just don't want to be indoctrinated. And there's one video cast producer that is even putting breath noises in with the artificial intelligence. And I wouldn't have ever known it was artificial intelligence, because the voice and the inflection and everything, as far as the narration, is perfect. It's really good. When I mean perfect, I mean it's undetectable that it's artificial intelligence. Until they add the breath. The breath noise is always evenly spaced. It's always the exact same noise. It's just cookie cutter breath noise. And so I clicked off of that site, and I won't go back, because I want things that are real, warts and all. Because it's the humanity that is put into things on media, whether it be music or news or sports or anything. It's the humanity that we see that is inspiring. And I'll pick things up where I left off. But before we go to break, I'm going to have Bob come back and tell you how you can support Truth to Ponder.
Well, I want to thank you, Jim, for filling in for me today. As many of you know, this has been a rough couple of weeks. Really, it's been a rough several months between bladder cancer, immunotherapy, and now this, what appears to be walking pneumonia. We're being treated. We're going to the doctor. We are doing everything you possibly can do. So don't worry about that. But it is rough, because I find myself often short of breath, though the oxygen level is good, which generally means I'm retaining too much CO2 in the bloodstream, which will give you that effect where you just really feel like you're out of breath. Keep me in prayer. I really don't know what we're going to be doing for tomorrow's program yet. It's kind of hard to say. But we hope to be here tomorrow, so just keep it in prayer. If you believe in this ministry, would you take a little time to let me know? When you do this program every day, it's encouraging to me to know that you're actually out there, and you listen, and you care. Our website is truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. Or our mailing address is Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Chilhowie. Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Chilhowie. Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code in Chilhowie is 24319. That's 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The Beaver People. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Beavers are interesting animals. And what do they do all day? They dam up rivers. They build dams. Well, you know rivers are important in God. In fact, it's prophesied that in the days of the kingdom, rivers of living water will flow from the house of the Lord in Jerusalem and cause the desert to bloom with life. See, rivers represent the spirit and life of God because the spirit's always giving and the life of God's always flowing. But the problem is, even though God's like a river, his people often tend to be more like beavers. We swim around his blessings, we get refreshed in his truth, and then we build dams. We dam up our lives, we dam up our walks, we dam up the blessings that God wants to flow in our life. What kind of dams do we build? Dams of unforgiveness, dams of bitterness and compromise and fear, dams of doubt, dams of dishonesty, of coldness, dams of gloom, dams of walled up relationships. The problem with dams is they stop the flow of the river. If you want to live by the Spirit, then your life has got to flow. If you want to live in God's abundance, then your life has got to flow. And your life cannot flow as long as you have those dams damming it all up. You know what happens when you build dams in your life? You damn your life. You damn your life to missing all the blessings God would have you know. But you want the abundant life that God has for you? Then break open those dams, my friend. It's going to take some work, but you need to do it. Break open that dam of unforgiveness and bitterness. Break open the dam of compromise and gloom and fear. Break open the dam you put up against that other person. Break that dam open and let the river of God's blessing flow into your life because you are a child of blessing and not a beaver. Want more? Ask for living waters from Jerusalem. Now, hidden for 2,000 years, now revealed, the awesome, unprecedented mystery of the temple doors and sapphires guaranteed to help you become strong and victorious in God. How do you get these free gifts free? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. That's all you do. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be so blessed, but call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now I invite you to join me in bringing salvation back to God's ancient nation, Israel, and all the unreached peoples on five continents with over a billion people. Just call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct. The Nice Jewish Boy at Box 1111 in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's The Nice Jewish Boy. It's Box 1111. Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem to you. Peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, Sar Chaim, the Prince of Life.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Welcome back to the second half of Truth to Ponder. This is Jim Calhoun sitting in for Bob Bierman today. I really do appreciate Bob allowing me to speak to his great audience. It's an honor for me to do so. I try to bring you a different perspective on things. There's so many people out there talking about the same things. And of course, I end up talking about a lot of that too. But I try to give a fresh angle. Back years ago, they used to call it sagebrush philosophy. That would be just the old cowboys out on their horses, have a lot of time to think. They'd come up with all sorts of different ideas and opinions. And that's kind of the way I am. I'm out here on the ranch with just my critters. I have a lot of time to think and reflect. And I don't want to be a cookie cutter to anything. But I do want to be informative, and I do appreciate Bob allowing me a chance to at least put some of these issues out in front of you. Now back to the artificial intelligence. Do you realize that we're within Well, they probably could do it now if they wanted to, but we're within several years where we're going to see sporting events where there's not going to be a human involved other than running the artificial intelligence, getting it started. You might say, well, nobody is going to do that. Well, it won't get rid of the real thing, not for quite some time, but it could severely damage the real thing. And what would happen if a group of people or a person came up with, let's say, a whole football league, let's say 12 teams, and they run an artificial intelligence football league from, let's say, March until August, when there is no other football. And the players look real. Everything just seems totally legit. And you have to pay to watch it. Now, I doubt if it would get on network TV or on the cable networks, but I imagine there would be people that would pay a subscription fee to watch these games. Also, the people that argue who's the best heavyweight fighter in history. Was it John L. Sullivan, Jack Johnson? Was it Jack Dempsey? Was it Rocky Marciano? Was it Muhammad Ali? Was it Mike Tyson? Who was it? Well, with artificial intelligence, as long as you have film of how the fighter actually fought, some of the moves, have that artificial intelligence analyze and recreate, there will be a time where you'll see Rocky Marciano fighting Jack Johnson. You'll see Muhammad Ali fighting John L. Sullivan. And you won't be able to tell the difference. Now, something that's fascinating but kind of creepy is that they take old photographs and they bring them to life. I've been watching some of those. They colorize it. And I would say 99% of it is just dead on perfect. I can tell there's still some glitchy artificial intelligence in it. But within 6 months to a year, that will be cleared up. I guarantee you that. But watching President Lincoln come to life in full color and look at me and smile at me and move his head is kind of unnerving. So all they have to do is have a photograph of someone, and then the artificial intelligence can bring it to life and make it really look like it's alive. And here's one of the biggest problems with artificial intelligence. If someone has a photograph of, let's say, you, now this is not going to happen to you. I'm not trying to scare you. But theoretically, it's possible that you could get framed for a crime that you didn't do, but yet there will be video evidence of you doing the crime. And it can all be done with artificial intelligence. And this is going to truly cloud the waters, because you could have a trial and one person can have a video showing your innocence and the other person could have a video showing your guilt. And also, people that are criminally minded can build alibis of them being at a certain place at a certain time when they're not really there, but yet they have clear video evidence they were there. And I know that anyone could take my voice right now and sample it and make me say very vile and hateful things and put it out there for all to hear and say, listen to what Jim said when I didn't say it. And that's going to bring in a whole different set of laws, a whole different set of guidelines and protocols, and it's going to really be tough to keep this civil and keep it real. And just like when they invented the automobile, there was hundreds of people making automobiles from 1900 to 1915. A lot of different cars that they only made one or two, and then they shut the company down. And artificial intelligence, how it feeds on itself, and it gets more commonplace. There's so many people that are using artificial intelligence and helping to design different types of artificial intelligence that it's kind of a wild west, kind of like how the automobile industry was when it first got started. It took a while before safety regulations and different codes as far as the standards of how the cars had to be before things kind of came around. I know that I like the, me personally, I thinking having more choices is better, but you can't have things that are sold to the public that are going to be on a public road that are dangerous. And that was the case with a lot of these real small companies. And so they had to either merge with other car companies that met the standards that needed to be safe on the road, or they went out of business. And it took several years before that was kind of reined in. And I think that needs to happen with artificial intelligence. But one of the most disturbing things that I have heard, I haven't seen this yet, but someone asked one of the different artificial intelligence services, I don't know which one, what it thought of the human race and what should happen to the human race. And it wasn't very flattering, and the artificial intelligence didn't have any use for humans, that's for sure. I'm not saying the artificial intelligence is going to take over the world and get rid of all humans, but I do think that humans are very capable of using artificial intelligence to get rid of other humans. And then as a side note, there's a movie from the 1950s called Forbidden Planet. And it would be a good watch. I highly recommend. It's a good movie. It's got some cheesy parts to it. It's got several minutes of cringe. But for the most part, it's a great movie. But we're on the same path that the people on this planet, what happened to them, their fate, was that they got too smart and they got too cute. And they let machines do everything, and they let machines replicate themselves. And finally, they developed their technology to the point where all they had to do is think about something, and then the artificial intelligence would just make it for them. Well, they didn't take in consideration that people dreamed. And the artificial intelligence was reading their minds to know what it needed to do. And so as the people dreamed, if they had a nightmare, well, guess what? They had their nightmare right at their doorstep. For real. And so I am sending out a warning that we do need to understand that it's not going to go away. It's just going to get more prevalent, and it's going to take over everything real soon. And I'm going to say ruin a lot of things. As far as the art world, it's going to ruin it, because you know, you can have a beautiful painting, portrait that's hanging in the Louvre in Paris, and you can have artificial intelligence create better artwork than that in 3 or 4 seconds. In other words, they're trying to take the human flaws out of artificial intelligence to where artificial intelligence won't be flawed by any true human thought or limitations. And that's where the beauty of the arts lies anyway, is in people's limitations and in their strengths. You take the strengths and the weaknesses and you add it together, you have something whole and real and realistic. I do want to talk about a couple of the good things that artificial intelligence can do. It can help us eradicate disease if it's programmed right by the right people. It can help us solve problems that mankind has been trying to solve for years. And it's going to grow so fast that we're not going to know what hit us. When they combine the artificial intelligence with the 3D printing, do you realize how many businesses are going to fold as far as manufacturing goes? You might say, well, a new business is born and an old business fails. And an old business goes away, time marches on, so everything's equal. The only trouble is that the business that is created might only have 3 or 4 people involved, and the business that's closed might have 1,000 people lose their job. And you could rest assured the military is going to use artificial intelligence. And they're going to use artificial intelligence to make more deadly weapons, more powerful bombs, better ways to spy on people, better ways to defeat people. And my thoughts on all of this is that I hope that the good people that use artificial intelligence for the right reasons, I wish them all the luck in the world. I hope that it happens. I'm very much for getting rid of cancer. I'm very much for getting rid of Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and all these chronic diseases. That I'm real excited about Robert Kennedy Jr. being in the Trump administration, as I do believe he's going to do everything in his power to help us defeat childhood diseases and make our children healthy again. And I hope that artificial intelligence is used to aid keeping everyone healthy, because I think it can do that. I think it can also aid in feeding hungry people where they're starving in different places throughout the world. I think that artificial intelligence can be so good, but I'm afraid that we have so many bad people that are involved with a lot of the artificial intelligence that I see that it's going to be used for bad purposes. Just like the airplane. When the airplane was developed, one of the first things the Wright brothers did was go to the Army to try to sell them the airplane. Because people know that the governments have money and they will spend money on defense. And so I'm sure the artificial intelligence people, one of the first things they did was go to all the governments of the world and try to incorporate that into their militaries. It would shock me if that wasn't the case. I know as far as the modern armies of the world, I know they all have artificial intelligence now. And I think that the news networks, as far as what they call legacy media, which I call the dinosaur media, the networks, they're all suffering. And I don't think they're going to truly go away, but I think that all of the people that are going to be delivering your nightly news are going to be generated by artificial intelligence. I don't think you're going to have people talking to you anymore. You won't have any cameramen. You won't have anybody working sets. You won't have anybody there to maintain the equipment, because there won't be any equipment. It'll all just be done on computers, and all the news will be just parroted out by whoever controls the artificial intelligence. In other words, propaganda that has no soul. And so what I recommend to everyone, as this grows and encroaches on your life more and more every day, and I do think it's moving exponentially fast. I think that whatever happens this year, as far as how much artificial intelligence affects your life, I think you could probably quadruple it for the next year and maybe take it times 10 the next year. And so on and so forth. I think it's growing that fast. And I can't help but see ads for Christmas this year. I wish they'd wait till after Thanksgiving, but that's a whole other story. We have one of the big things for this Christmas season is artificial intelligence. People are buying different things for people as gifts. And artificial intelligence is going to be spread throughout the world. In my opinion, it's not going to be a good thing to have so much of it out there so quick before we can control it. But I know that when it's hot, you sell it. But I think that it's going to be hot from now on. And anybody that thinks they can just stand up to it and ignore it, well, it's not going to go away. And so getting back to where I've been trying to get to is what I'm going to do about this, and what I think you should do is simply know what you're watching, know what you're listening to, and if you're not sure, find out. Stay with people who are real, warts and all. Listen to music that's actually composed by a musician, and listen to songs that are actually sung and played by people who are singing and playing. Anything that has pitch correction in it, which is the vast majority of recordings today, I would ask that you would seek out artists and entertainers that don't rely on gimmicks and tricks, that they still use their God-given talent. I refuse to run what I do through auto-tunes and pitch corrections and all the things that people do to enhance a recording to make it sound, let's say, perfect, but it's no longer real. But what you get from me is real. It may not be world class, it may not be the best you've ever heard, but it's real. And the people that do broadcasting and podcasting, the ones that are not using artificial intelligence, they might slur a word or two, they might misspeak now and again, and in my case, stutter through something, but it's real. And I think that we have to seek out and help support people who are real, no matter what industry. And also, you need to train your ears and your eyes to be able to spot something that's generated. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you can't spot it now, if you can't train yourself to do it now, within 6 months, it'll be too late to train yourself, because they'll have it so perfect that you won't quite catch it. You might sense it, but you won't catch it. But if you train yourself how to catch artificial intelligence now, there's a good chance you'll catch it in the future, at least for the next year or so. But by then, I think they'll have it advanced to the point where even the best people at detecting something that's generated by a computer, they won't be able to catch it anymore. And I know a lot of people go along with the flow. They just follow the leader. And unfortunately, that's the vast majority of people. They just follow whatever and just blindly follow. Well, you can support artificial intelligence because there is some really good things that can happen. But you're going to have to keep control of your own life. And you're going to have to not let artificial intelligence become you. If all you do all day is sit around and let artificial intelligence do everything for you, well, in my opinion, the quality of life that you are living has been diminished. If I would just tell the computer to produce a segment for Truth to Ponder and use my voice to do it, I don't think that would be fair to me. I don't think that would be fair to you. I know it wouldn't be fair to Bob Bierman. It just wouldn't be right. And unfortunately, I'm in the minority as far as using right and wrong as a guideline. Most people in the world today are using the guideline of what's in it for me. And if it gets me out of work, well, I'm going to do it. And I'm not saying that using artificial intelligence would be ill-gotten gains. I'm not trying to go that far. But I think you can sell your soul to more things than Satan. I'm speaking figuratively here, but you can sell your soul to Satan, but you can also sell out to different things. May not be selling your soul, but you're selling your life essence. You might be selling out your work ethic or your morality. You might be selling out things that you can't afford to sell out, things that you need to keep, things that you need to hold dear. And so, in closing, just keep an eye on things. Don't go crazy with artificial intelligence. Like I say, I've used it, and I was most impressed of how fast it could do it. Just incredible. And know that most of the websites that you visit are done with artificial intelligence. It's already communicating with you. And it won't be very long until all the radio stations are just operated by artificial intelligence. And so there's going to be massive layoffs, people losing their jobs. I know CNN apparently has let go of over 100 people. And they're saying, well, it's because Trump won and no one's watching. Well, that might be part of it. I don't think very many people are watching. I would agree with that. But I think it was an excuse to bring in artificial intelligence and replace 100 people at CNN with artificial intelligence. That's just my opinion. But I don't think you can take the work of 100 people and not feel it in a media organization that's at that is that big. And before I close, I want to make a quick comment. It has nothing to do with artificial intelligence. I guess it would have to do with anti-intelligence, actually. Alex Jones had his InfoWars closed down, supposedly auctioned off, and they did shut down InfoWars for a few hours, but they did it so illegally that Alex Jones has retained InfoWars for now. But the more I delve into what happened, the more I think that Alex Jones was shut down criminally. I think there's going to be a lot of heads on the chopping block, and it's going to be very interesting. And so as a media guy myself, as an independent person in the media, I'm very interested in what happens to InfoWars, because that's an independent media network. And Alex Jones was absolutely denied his rights, and everything was done wrong. And I think in the end, and I think that all that's going to come to light, and I think that there is light at the end of the tunnel for Alex Jones, just because of the stupidity of the actions of the people that were so anti-free speech that would do anything to destroy Alex Jones. I know that had nothing to do with today's show, but I just wanted to make a quick comment that Alex Jones does have InfoWars back for a time, and time will tell what happens in that situation. I do appreciate Bob Bierman allowing me to speak with you today. I wish you all the best. And now, back to Bob.
Once again, I want to thank you, Jim, for stepping up to the plate today to help me out. This has been a rough few weeks in getting the radio program done. During the past day or two, I've found myself just weak, short of breath, but the O2 level's good. But we're thinking this is just one of the side effects of having walking pneumonia. Now, we're being treated, and so not to worry that we're ignoring it. We are doing our best to take care of this. Now, as far as tomorrow's program, I can't tell you. I don't know how things will shake out for tomorrow. I just don't. I think at some point in the not-too-distant future, even as I finally and prayerfully recoup from what I'm dealing with, I do need to take some time away from this radio program. It really does wear me down. It wears me down, dealing with these news stories each and every day. It's hard to be, well, optimistic. I want to keep pursuing this, but I need your prayers. If you would, visit our website. Let me know how you listen. Truth, the number 2 ponder.com. Truth, and the numeral or number 2 ponder.com. Or you can make a check or money order payable to keep us on shortwave. Like I said, we may take a little time off. Not long, maybe a few days. To keep us on shortwave, make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, 24319. That zip code again, 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth, the number 2, and the word ponder.com. That's truth, the number 2, ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.